direction instead of mostly west. The tunnel hadn't changed direction, just continued straight. And Ryan had no explanation at all for that. Farther on, they found the room where the bomb had to have gone off. Ryan stood on the lip of the room, gazing down into what appeared to be a research lab of some kind. A lot of computers, frozen over now, sat against the wall along a ring that encircled the hub of the large room. Mechanical claws hung from the ceiling, black power cords as thick as pythons leading down from them. He made his way gingerly to the edge of the railing and peered down. The light fixtures below weren't operational at all. All he saw was a thick pool of frozen water, interrupted occasionally by bulky equipment that thrust up from the level surface.
How far down, Jack?
15 feet, maybe 20. Light not good. Hard to judge distance.
Yeah.
You can figure there's probably 30 feet of ice before you reach the concrete bottom of that room. This must be where they were storing the nerve gas.
Ryan silently agreed. His eyes scoured the walls, seeing signs where explosions had ripped into the metal. Huge gouges lay under the sheets of ice, disfigured by the depth.
I get bad feelings about this place. A lot of people died right here.
Took a lot of water to fill this room, Dad. Kinda curious about where it came from.
Yeah.
Ryan felt a gnawing certainty that he knew where it had come from. He'd had to knock ice from the handkerchief around his lower face 3 times since they had begun to walk. Every time he had tasted the ice through the material, and every time it had carried with it the distinct taste of salt. Salt water could only mean a sea or an ocean, but there were a lot of those in the world. It also meant that wherever they were, it was really cold, because salt water took longer and required a lower temperature to freeze than fresh water. Some areas had already been bared by the earlier quakes, but not all of them had torn free.
Getting worse.
Didn't feel any worse than the last one.
Ryan held a finger to the side of his nose, stemming blood flow where ice had hit him.
Maybe, but it was.
Jack pointed at the floor. Fractures ran through the inches thick accumulation beneath their feet. Ryan guessed that a few had been there from earlier, but in no way were they as bad as what he was looking at now.
Let's get a move on, before this whole fire-blasted place comes tumbling down around our ears.
Mildred ran her hands through the pockets of the dead man that they had just found in the corridor. The man looked to be in his early 20s. Sergeant chevrons marked his short-sleeved shirt. His hair was crew-cut blonde, and his staring dead eyes were hazel. Ice pieces clung to his frozen flesh. More of the ice lining the floor had buckled, making footing even more treacherous.
This explosion must have taken place around the time of the nuke cost. Got paperwork here with a January 18th, 2001 date on it.
What paperwork?
Ryan moved forward, squinting in the dim light to look at the paper she offered. She gave him 3 sheets, all covered with feminine handwriting.
Personal letter.
She ran her hands along her arms, her gaze still captured by the young corpse on the ground before them. Some decay had set in before the freezing temperatures, and the ice had preserved what was left of his corpse. His body showed a watermark where blood had settled into his exposed limbs and the back of his neck. The letter was just that, a message from home, written by a young wife who hoped to see her husband in 2 weeks for the first time in nearly 8 months. Sections of the letter were covered over by black marker. From reading the text, Ryan knew the references had to do with where the young soldier had been stationed.
Evidently, this place stored a lot of war chems, lover.
They had turned up more of the canisters. Some of them, however, hadn't been broken open.
Somebody in here was set up to take out this site. Maybe with all the tracking communications gear we've seen, it was part of the SDI.
SDI?
Strategic Defense Initiative. Supposed to give the United States a chance to save the world in case the nukes were launched.
She didn't wake.
No.
Ryan left the letter with the dead man. He liked to read journals when he found them, and manuals, just to get an idea of what life had to have been like during the time before Skydark. This was personal, and it belonged with the man. If there had been information in it, he would have kept it.
Hot pipe! I see light! We must be getting near the end!
Ease up, Dean. Don't roam too far ahead.
Ryan followed the rising grade of the tunnel, his vision blocked ahead by the tunnel bending back down to level off again. Dean stood at the top of the incline, his Browning in his fist, and gray wisps of his breath dancing around his head. Ryan went up the incline gingerly. The cracked ice made it easier going than the smooth ice would have been, but if the wrong piece was stepped on, a man would go back down the incline in a hurry. The breeze thickened with the salt scent, and it became even colder. The wet handkerchief stuck to flesh where it touched Ryan's lips. His eye opened wide as he took in the scene, seeing but not believing. The access tunnel leading to the redoubt had been sheared off. Not by an explosion, Ryan saw, but by a twisting elemental force. The tunnel now opened up on a peak of dirty white ice, pointing like an open throat toward the abominable orange and purple of the nuke dust-filled sky. The light coming from the sun, barely visible through the heavy clouding, was a jaundiced yellow. Ryan didn't think anyone around this place had ever seen a blue sky, which was still some days rare, even in Deathlands. And he knew they weren't in Deathlands anymore. No place he'd been to looked anything like what he saw before him. 60 feet and maybe more below him, an emerald green ocean lapped at the bottom of the shelf they found themselves on. There was no indication of land mixed in with the accumulated snow and fresh layers of ice. Out before him, scattered across the white expanse of the sea, were hundreds of ice floes. Nearly all of them were smaller than the one they were encased in. Mildred stepped up beside Ryan to look out over the ocean.
Oh, God! We're in a damn ice cube floating in the middle of the blessed ocean!
For as long as he could, Ryan stood out on the lip of the access tunnel where the door had been sheared away, trying to see a way clear of the situation. The companions had been in a lot of hard places, but nothing like the present predicament.
How do you think it happened, Dad?
You should go on back inside. You're gonna get your death if you keep standing out here.
I'll go back in when you go back in.
For a moment, the boy's refusal to do what he asked touched a raw nerve in Ryan. He felt his jaw twitch and turn hard. Then he made himself remember that it was the situation he was mad at, not Dean. Mildred and Christy had taken shelter inside the tunnel again.
I guess we're somewhere up near the Arctic Circle. Only two places that I read about have glaciers as part of their natural environment.
The Arctic and the Antarctic.
Guess you learned a lot at Brody School.
I tried. Lots of learning to do, Dad.
I know. It's something a real man doesn't ever give up on.
Drader teach you that?
Yeah. Him and a few other real men I've had the chance to meet over the years.
Below the drop-off, three white birds with wing spreads that must have been near 10 feet across circled and heeled, riding out the rough winds. Now and again, one of them would dive below the water and come back up with a fish jumping in its beak.
Back before Skydark, when the Americans were up against the Russians, they had a lot of their armament invested in submarines. Russians ran the most and the biggest, according to the books I read. And the Americans kept track of them through satellites up in space and sensors along the ocean floor.
Like some of the comps we saw back in the redoubt?
Maybe. At this point, I can only guess. The thing is, one of the most watched areas where the Americans searched for the Russian subs was the Atlantic Ocean.
Near here?
Yeah.
So they put a redoubt here, watching over things. Then what?
Then Skydark. Earthquakes, tidal waves, and lots of cold. The Arctic Circle was mostly ice anyway. When the nuke dust shut out the sun for all those years, maybe nobody knows how much of the world turned to ice up here. Know for a fact that a lot of England is underwater now. Figures that the redoubt maybe goes through all of this iceberg, helps hold it together.
Like a skeleton.
Yeah, like a skeleton.
Only it's moving now, and we're moving with it. Maybe we'll drift in someplace.
Ryan watched as a huge chunk of the original glacier fell away.
I don't know if we're gonna last that long. It appears as if we have a time problem.
With their grim discoveries, they gathered back by the Matrans unit.
It's called calving.
Huh?
The process of an iceberg splitting off a smaller iceberg. It's called calving.
Doesn't matter what it's called. We can't afford to be here when this one goes.
Well, maybe the redoubt will be strong enough to hold it together.
If those quakes are any indication, Albert, that isn't gonna be true.
So what's the plan, lover?
We continue mapping out this redoubt. Maybe we get some heat in here and we'll have a base of operations.
That I can do.
The armorer stood at the open face of an environmental control computer. Jagged ice stood out around it, where he had chopped his way through.
With all the damage done to the redoubt, the systems automatically went into conservative mode. Getting the doors closed again allowed me to access the relays. Got a new problem, though.
What? I'm ready to be warm again, John.
Once this ice starts melting, we're gonna have water everywhere.
And we'll clear as much of it as we can.
Yeah, found a fire axe over here. But if you use it, you're gonna have to be careful with the comps. Don't know if I can fix the Metrans unit again, but we don't need to be making things any worse.
Ryan took up the fire axe and walked to the corner farthest away from the computers and the gateway.
Start here. I'll bust ice loose for a while, and the rest of you carry it into the next room. We get it clear, I'll expect to feel some of that heat.
It took slightly better than 2 hours to clear the room. Everybody took turns with the fire axe and the hand axe JB had in his kit. And everybody carried the ice away. Once the room was clear of ice debris and the floor was scraped, JB switched on the environmental controls override.
The only problem's gonna be if the vents and fans are clogged up somewhere down the line.
Only a thin trickle of heat came out of the floor vents. It was a lot weaker than Ryan figured the designers had intended, and not nearly as effective as the system's installers planned. Still, it was warm air, and it was welcome. Gradually, the room warmed, coming up to a degree of comfortability. The lights also brightened. The main door leading to the access tunnel wasn't quite flush, but JB had made it work. Dean fell asleep with his back to the wall, his hands held out before him to soak up the warm air coming through the vent. Ryan was feeling the fatigue himself.
Situation we're in is pretty bad, but we're not going to get anywhere without sleep.
Been over 30 hours since we got any, except for that near coma the jump provided us.
If you are suggesting that we get some, my dear Ryan, then I heartily accept the decision.
Me too.
Should we post a guard?
I think we can be pretty certain that we're all that's left alive inside this redoubt. And the sectors are wedged pretty tight. We should be just fine.
Ryan joined Christy, stretching out beside her, so they could share the warmth between them. The environmental controls had made a difference, but the room still had a long way to go before it got comfortably heated. Still, they were no longer in danger of freezing to death if they slept.
Something on my mind.
What, Jack?
If we warm up redoubt, won't the iceberg melt faster?
The lad has a point.
And we're all out of choices.
And Ryan didn't remember a single thing after that. JB sat in the corner, his fedora cocked back on his head, while he worked a pencil over a ragged spiral-bound notebook.
This redoubt isn't as big as a lot of them we've been to.
Ryan blinked sleep out of his eye.
How long you been up?
20-30 minutes.
JB had a fresh bandage on his side where he had been hit by the bullets during the fight back in Hazard. A med kit had been in the room under all the ice as well.
Been outside?
Nope.
Find a map?
You could call it that. Reread a lot of those electrical blueprints this morning when my head seemed clearer. Was working too late to be sharp yesterday.
A man working with not enough sleep is a man aiming on taking a dirt nap.
I know it. That's why I gave the blueprints another go this morning. I think I got a pretty good idea of where everything is and what it might be.
Ryan pushed up from the cold floor and joined the armorer. Even with the heat on, a chill remained in the room.
Tell me.
Now, this isn't scale. You're getting my best guess.
It'll do.
You got the room here with the Metrans in it. Then you got the shaft you explored yesterday. The big chem lab's off that. Storeroom's off the shaft. Mostly stuff for containing the nerve gas in case of an accident. And that takes you to the entrance you say was torn off. Going back the other way, things appear to be a bit more hopeful. From what I can decipher, looks to be an armory and a galley below, a warehouse-sized storeroom, and maybe what looks like a dock.
A dock? What kind of wags?
Not wags. Paperwork I found led on like it might be boats, maybe even a small sub. No, do we go look.
Then we better get it done. What about the Metrans?
I'm gonna have to take it apart. Maybe I'll know more after I do that.
Then you'll stay here. The rest of us will take a look at the rest of the redoubt.
Probably gonna be cold. Doubt if that heat ventilator is working throughout the whole redoubt.
If we're lucky, the cold will be the worst of it.
Ryan held the rechargeable electric hand lantern over the frozen floor ahead of him.
Like walking in a tomb down here, lover.
Broken chunks of ice littered the corridor and became hazardous to every step. Ryan had fallen himself nearly a half dozen times, as had Christy. An arm stuck up from the frozen floor. the thumb and two fingers had snapped off sometime in the past. Ryan guessed that falling ice had done the damage, but the owner of the hand was long past caring. Not far from the gateway, the main corridor had branched out in five directions. Ryan had split up the companions to cover ground more quickly. Mildred had gone with Jack and Dean, and Albert kept company with Doc. The first corridor Ryan had chosen to explore had ended abruptly. The iceberg had swelled sometime in the past, probably battling against the interior heat of the redoubt, before the environmental systems went into hibernation, then refrozen as the nuclear winter settled in. The second freezing had broken through the corridor and closed it down. The signs on the hallway leading to it mentioned only that barracks had been in that direction. Ryan hoped it was so. That left the dock in the warehouse open to scavenging. The iceberg quivered again, getting set for another big quake. Ryan had learned to recognize the signs. Christy pressed up against the wall and hunkered down. The quakes were usually followed immediately by vertigo and disorientation. Doc had let them know that somewhere in the vicinity of 9/10 of an iceberg was beneath the water surface at all times. But when it calved, sometimes the biggest portion came from the bottom, depending on the fissures the melting ice followed. When it did, the remaining mother iceberg shrank lower into the sea. And that wasn't taking into account all the extra tonnage of the redoubt carried in the bowels of the particular iceberg that they were floating on. Even more of it might be below the ocean level, which would create a tendency for the calving process to take place even more below the surface. They were working on borrowed time. It would have been better had the Matrans unit not been functioning, so their jump would have kicked them on to the next station. When the quake finally subsided, and the iceberg had renegotiated its equilibrium in the ocean enough to wipe away most of the feelings of vertigo, Ryan stood. He shone the electric glow of the hand lantern down the corridor, looking over the accumulation of new ice pieces.
One of the worst.
I know. But maybe it did some good. Look.
Ryan played the lantern over the sign painted on the green wall in flat black paint.
Docking area.
The words gave Ryan a flash of hope that he nurtured in spite of their grim surroundings. He followed the arrows, ignoring the other listings of med facility, security office, and filing rooms. Ryan counted the landings as they went down, spiraling around and around. With a constant circuitous motion, he felt more vertigo than normal.
You can feel the iceberg floating down here.
Ryan nodded, understanding what was upsetting his stomach. The motion of going down the stairs, coupled with the iceberg's natural buoyancy, was too much. It didn't last much longer, though. 14 floors down, counting two landings per floor, they came to an end of it. Ryan played his lantern beam over the black water, filling the stairway shaft. He had no way of knowing how much farther it went down. The fact remained that they couldn't.
The water level inside the redoubt must be rising, lover. Otherwise, all that water would be frozen.
Or it could be a degree or two just above freezing. Just enough to start the iceberg melting a little faster.
Either way, this isn't good.
JB laid the circuit boards on the table that Jack and Dean had brought up from one of the storerooms they had successfully broken into. It was a long way from making the gateway room homey, but with the heat working a little better, the addition of the chairs gave the companions momentary respite that they weren't deep in a sinking iceberg.
These are the problem. Boards are shorted out.
Can't you simply fix them, John Barrymore?
Maybe. But this is precise work we're talking about, Doc. If I get it wrong, maybe we all just go out like a puff of smoke instead of getting on to the next gateway.
What do you need, JP?
Access to an electronics shop. Gotta have the right kind of soldering metals, magnification lenses, so I can get a good look at what I'm doing. Robot arm with a laser is what would work best.
Well, don't they have an electronics room in the redoubt? Seems like they'd have one.
They do, Albert. From the blueprints JB ciphered out, the electronics lab is down there somewhere around the docking bay.
Oh.
Leaves us one choice.
Go up top and take a look around.
And if all you find is ice and snow?
Don't know that's true until we go look. You start out counting off possibilities before you go see what you can do. You might as well stay home and put a bullet in your brain. I'm not ready to do that yet.
It was 100 feet to the top of the iceberg. Jack went up first, setting pitons they had found in one of the open storerooms. He drove them deep and fast into the hard ice, having no problem at all to get them to seat. The cold green of the killer cold ocean waited below for the slightest